wonderful to be with you today and to join in the worship of God. I am one of three Bruces who serve on a committee with Dean McHenry on the Interchurch Committee of Synod. So another one is Bruce Backensoe, of course, whom you know quite well. One of the graduates in my graduating class was a fellow by the name of Gordon Keddy. So there are a number of connections we have. And another connection would be that the first person who was assigned to be my advisor when I went to Geneva College was Dr. Roy Adams. So we have a number of contacts here. We enjoyed very much the time last evening with Jim and Karen as we learned of the importance of playing. And so we very much delighted in that time together. When our son was 3 years old, he needed to have an inguinal hernia repaired. And we took him in during the afternoon of the day before that surgery was to take place. And then I was the one that we agreed would stay with him overnight before the surgery. And just before turning in for the night, the nurse came in to let us know just what was going to take place, what the events would be. And she mentioned that in the morning he would be given a shot that would begin the process of him falling asleep so that he would not be awake during the surgery. And I thought it strange, but I was pretty sure that my son heard that, but there was no discernible reaction that he gave to that news. As you know, three-year-olds are not very happy with shots. Well, morning came, and so did the nurse. And I said, "It's time for your shot." That's when I got the discernible negative reaction. Suddenly, this horror just flooded in on him as to what was about to take place. It was here. It was happening. He had been told about it. But now it was happening. And he started yelling, "No, no, no." But of course, that was to no effect for him. I mention that because it's that kind of reaction that we're going to find in the scripture lesson that we look at today. I'm quite certain that you'll be able to pick out that reaction as we read through Mark chapter 1, beginning with the 14th verse and reading on through verse 39. And we're going to be looking particularly at verses 21 to 28, but the verses around help us to see that he is focusing in on the central notion being there in verses 21 to 28. Hear the word of the Lord. "Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.' And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Then they went into Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come here to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." But he said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. May God bless to us the reading of this portion of his holy word and teach us from it as we consider it together before him, as we have come into his presence. You see, Jesus here in the synagogue, he's the one who takes the place of the rabbi. And so no doubt there are people who are wondering, what's this new rabbi all about? What does he have to say? And number of people are there, including one who has an unclean spirit, one who is demon possessed. And there's something different about the teaching of Jesus. It's not like the other rabbis, particularly in the fact that he speaks with authority. He has conviction about him, and he says, "This is the truth. This is the way it is." It's not, "Well, this rabbi says it's that, and another rabbi says it's the other, another way, and you can take your pick." No, he spoke with authority. And that was something that marked him out so much that this man with the unclean spirit goes, "Ah, I know who you are. You are not just Jesus of Nazareth. You are the Holy One of God." And it terrorized him. He was horrified by the fact that this was Jesus, the Holy One of God, who was standing before him, because he was putting two and two together, remembering what had been said to the people of old. And he says, "Now's the time." Think about it. What are some of those things that he might have been thinking about? Genesis 3:15, where God said to the serpent, God said to this one who was the master of these of this demon, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. You'll bruise him on his heel, but he'll bruise you on your head. He will kill you. He will destroy you." And then how he says to Abraham, "In you all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And they knew what that was about. And then he says concerning Moses, there's going to arise a prophet like Moses who will come. Okay. And then there's all these laws from the Mosaic law as to how they were to approach God, how they were to be made right with God, how there had to be this sacrifice. Someone who would be a substitute, who would take upon himself the sins of the people. And the demon knew about that. He knew about David and how God had said to David, there will be one of your sons who sits on your throne forever. And the demon-possessed man is sitting in the synagogue that day. And it hits him like a ton of bricks. And he is flooded with horror. Whereas for my son, that was a very personal and temporal horror. But for this demon, it is not just a global, but a universal and eternal horror that floods over him. I knew this was coming. I've been told about it. And now it's here. Why does it have to be now? Why can't we wait a while longer? But you see, that's the horror that came upon him that day, so that he just stood up in the middle of the sermon and said, I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Have you come here to destroy us? Notice, as far as we can tell, this is a demon who is by himself in this man. Not like that one who was asked, what's your name? Well, it's Legion, because there are many. No, this is one who is by himself, but he says, he answers for all of his minions as he says, have you come here to destroy us? Is this the time that it's going to happen? That's what has him horrified. This Jesus of Nazareth. Is not just a new rabbi that happened to come by, but he is the Holy One of God. This is an expression that is only found in the account of this event, whether it's by Mark or by Luke. They're the only ones that give this expression, the Holy One of God. Now you find the expression, the Holy One of Israel, a number of times in the Old Testament. Especially in the book of Isaiah. It's also used concerning the priests in Numbers chapter 16, verse 7. The Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of God. And so here's this demon-possessed man who is totally distraught because he's horrified at what is taking place. He knew it was coming. And now it looks like it's here. Because he recognizes that Jesus of Nazareth is the Holy One of God. How was he recognized? Well, he was recognized not just by that man who had the demon in him, but by the rest of the people there in the synagogue. Well, a couple of things stand out here, particularly in Mark's gospel. You will notice that you have the word immediately recurring many times. And it's a word that, well, in the Old King James, it's the word straightway. Many of you might remember. When Jesus acted, he acted without hesitation. He didn't have to stop and think about things as to what's the best way to do things. He didn't have to stop and say, well, what's the best way to Harrisburg? Well, oh man, there's road work on 322. Maybe I better find another way around and things of that nature. No, he knew. Being the Son of God, he knew, and he knew how to act. And he was able to act immediately. And he was able to act and to speak with authority. Not like those who had been before him. But he had conviction about him. He understood the Word of God. He knew the Word of God, and he knew what the Word of God meant and for whom it was written. And so he taught with authority, and he cast out the demon with authority. So you have these actions of Christ that people began to recognize that he's different. Now, they didn't really understand that just how he was different, at least not the way that the demon recognized it right away. They should have been recognizing that the same way, but they didn't. For the demon, it was an oh no moment. For them, it should have been an aha moment. At last, it's here. But they didn't understand. They didn't really grasp. They knew that something was different about him, but they didn't really understand him to be the Holy One of God as the demon declared him to be. The demons, please understand, are not omniscient. They don't know everything. But they have access to the same things that you and I have in the Scriptures. They know what's written in the Scriptures. And they're often more savvy about it than we are. But we need to be understanding the Scriptures, to know what they say, and to be able to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Holy One of God. What was Jesus doing? He was bringing in the gospel age. And that's what the demon recognized. Now, perhaps the demon is thinking farther ahead to eternal destruction, but at least he knows that the reign of terror, as they have been able to exercise it, has come to an end. Jude gives us an insight into this in the 6th verse of that one chapter book. Jude chapter 6, or verse 6. The angels who did not keep their proper domain, like this one who is possessing this man, but left their own abode, he has reserved for everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. They knew this. This demon knew it. We could go on to Revelation chapter 20. And see there that pit into which Satan is cast with his demons. The reign of darkness is coming to an end. And that's what horrifies this demon-possessed man as he sees Jesus speaking with authority, speaking with purpose, acting with purpose. In a couple of chapters later, we have the account of Jesus casting out another demon. And that particular one finds its significance in that the people begin to charge him with doing this because of the authority of the prince of the demons. And Jesus, of course, says to them, well, if Satan is divided against himself, then he can't stand. But if I have bound the strong man, and he gives a parable of a strong man who has all his possessions, and as long as he is a strong man and is able to keep from being bound or killed or anything of that nature, he guards all his possessions. But when you bind that strong one, then you can plunder his possessions. That's the way it works in war, isn't it? So often, you find the people destroying the other army and taking their plunder. Okay, here's Jesus saying, I have bound the strong man. I am taking over what he has had. And it terrifies the kingdom of darkness. They knew it was coming. And it's here. Mark, did you notice how Mark begins his gospel? We didn't read that verse. But there in the first verse, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, this is the gospel account. How many books do you read that say, okay, this is the beginning of the book? No, that's not the way you begin a book. What he's saying here is, this is the beginning of the gospel. This is how things are starting to change now. We've had this reign of darkness for all these years, these centuries, millennia even. And now things are changing. It's beginning to change now. There's a new sheriff in town, and it's Jesus. The strong man has been bound. His goods have been plundered. And so the kingdom of God is now taking over the way of the world, the things of the world. And so it is that Christ, by his work, was bringing in the gospel age. He was bringing that about. And he did it by preaching the good news of repentance. Did you notice that? It's the same message that you find John being giving at in the early part of the chapter. We didn't read that part either. But Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That's how this kingdom is coming in. This gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is coming in by the fact that God has brought about the end time. He did this then by preaching the good news of repentance. But it was not a duty that was left to him alone. Remember what we read about just before this event? He sees some people fishing and he says, follow me and I will make you to be fishers of men. And as he goes through his ministry, he is training those men. And even when you get to the end of those 3 years, you wonder, how in the world are they going to be able to carry this on? Because they just don't seem to be ready for it. In fact, one of them betrays him and takes his own life. Another one who has been so bold denies that he even knows who he is. And at the end of John's gospel account, you have his restoration. And you look at the book of Acts and you wonder, how in the world can this crew that Jesus was dealing with here at the end of 3 years be the same group of people that is turning the world upside down? But he had trained them. He had prepared them. So that it was not only his work, but he says, you are my witnesses to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature, to let them know that the gospel age is here, that the reign of darkness is over. Now, of course, we still have our terrors and our trials. We still have inguinal hernias. We still have the difficulties of life that we face. But not to the extent that we would have them had not Christ come and put an end to the total reign of terror of the evil one. Well, Christ has come. And his coming demands our response. Did you notice the response of the rest of the people there in the synagogue? It was amazement. It was amazement. But that's all it was. Are you ever amazed at something and then don't do anything about it? That's the way it was for these people. They were amazed at what Jesus was doing. They were amazed at the way that he spoke. They were amazed at the way that he went about with purpose. But they didn't come to have that aha moment that they should have had when the demon had his oh no moment. they should have been able to realize, yes, this is the Son of God. This is the Holy One of God. This is the one who is going to set things straight. But they weren't ready to hear that. They weren't ready to understand this. They knew it was a new teaching, but they did not show repentance. And without repentance, they and the demon were on the road to destruction. There is a time coming that is going to be an oh no moment for many. It's a time that we have been told about, where Jesus will say to those on his left, "Depart from me to eternal destruction." And if you have not prepared for that day, it's going to be an oh no moment, in the same way that it was for that demon when he realized that this man speaking with authority was the Holy One of God. And if you have not come to see that things have been made right between you and the Lord our God, now's the time to do it, because you don't know when he is returning. Just as that demon-possessed man did not know when the Holy One of God would be coming and speaking at the synagogue and entering to bring a change, a total change in the world, an end to the reign of darkness. Things had gone on for not just centuries, but for millennia. And it seemed like they would continue that way forever. And that's the way that we begin to think about the world. That yes, there will be that time, but boy, it's a long way off, isn't it? Now is the day of salvation, says Christ, through his apostles. Now is the opportunity that you have to turn to him repenting, and to become one of his people, to honor the Holy One of God as the Holy One of God, to be confident in his sovereign authority, to know that what he says is true, and to act on the basis of that truth, to listen to his commands, to know that he has bound Satan, and that he is more powerful than any demon or any group of demons that can be mustered against you. So that you come with that same confidence that he has. That same confidence that Christ reigns. That he is in authority over all. So that when you are tempted to do anything against his will, you are drawn to him to obey his commands. How do you react when you think about the fact that the Holy One of God has come? Are you excited? Are you upset? Like the demon? Are you indifferent? Your reaction is important here. How do you react to the very fact that Jesus has come bringing the good news of the kingdom with him, making known that he is indeed the Son of God, the Holy One of God, and that in him we have everlasting life? The battle continues to rage, and we recognize that it rages. In fact, we find it raging in our own lives. As we find those temptations to sin, and oh, how hard it is to turn against those. But we're called to pursue the Lord our God, to seek him first in everything, so that we would not succumb to the ways of the evil one. Recognize the blessing that you have in the reign of the Holy One of God. The fact that he has come in fulfillment of all those prophecies that we see in the Old Covenant, and he brings them to pass, and He brings them to fruition in our lives. May we continue to delight in Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the great grace that You have shown to us in sending Jesus into the world to fulfill the prophecies that have been made concerning Him, to bring about the end of the reign of darkness, and to establish the reign of righteousness through this One, the Holy One of God. Do not let us, Heavenly Father, be terrorized at all, but rather cause us to rejoice, knowing that You have given us Jesus, the Holy One of God, that we might rejoice in Him and receive the mercy and the grace that You have provided for us in Him. So now, Father, hear and answer our prayers for one another as well as for ourselves, that none of us would be horrified at that day when You say to those on Your left, "Depart from Me into eternal judgment," but rather that we might hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.